Good job, good job. There we go.
When the souls of life are raging, stand by. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, I will rule this wind and water, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden, I'm nearing chilly Jordan. Oh, that lily of the valley, stand by me.
All right, one last one. Yes. 249, 1 and 4. 249, 1 and 4.
Thanks, Mary. That was fun.
That was fun. Yes, it's been a while since we've done that. 249, 1 and 4. Thank you, all great picks. Thank you. Thank you, Colleen. Beautiful as always. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. And we'll get started with our announcements, and we got several of them. And first off, just like to recognize our January birthdays. There's a list on the screen. So happy birthday to Marion, Mike, Harold, Bill, Lorene, Rebecca, Amy, Gary, and Audrey. And hope you have a wonderful birthdays this month. Next, just a reminder that the January newsletter, the Friendly Visitor, is available. Printed copies are out in the back of the narthex, and I'm sure you can also find it online through the church website. And I'm sure we have a lot of people who do like to read, so for those of you who like to read, come join our book club. And it meets in the Camellia Room, and looks like the next one is January 14th at 10 a.m., and you can contact Deb on Zoom for those book club events. And let's see, looks like they're going to be discussing West with Giraffes. Just the title sounds good, so join it. That sounds interesting. Also coming up, we have our Bible study with Dina Barwick on Zoom, called Encounters with Jesus Through the Eyes of Mark. And that will happen actually tomorrow, Monday, January 13th, tentative time, 5 to 6:30 p.m. Of course, Dina's up in Alaska, so there is some logistics to deal with. And we had some additional information on this offering. So it does start tomorrow, and if you're interested, please contact Dina to join and get the Zoom link. So that'll be important in order to participate. This does not use the church's Zoom, it's Dina's Zoom. So that's why if you want to participate, you need to reach out to her to get that. So anything else on assistance for getting connected, Deb, other than contacting Dina? Okay, so if you want to get hooked up with that, please, you probably want to reach out to Dina today. And of course, we have our annual, we have at the beginning of our Christmas season, we have the putting up of all our beautiful decorations. Now comes a somewhat solemn opportunity of having to take it down. So it's time to take it down. So if you could please stay after church today, that will occur today. So as you can see, there's a lot to take down. So many hands will make light work. And I think that's all of our announcements. Anything else? Okay, not seeing any additional announcements. If you'll please stand for our call to worship as you're able. Oh, Lord Jesus, you do not snuff out the smoldering wick of our souls.
Bring down upon us the heavenly fire of the Holy Spirit this day,
that we may breathe in the life-giving Spirit and be renewed,
that our hearts may be rekindled and glow with faith, hope, and love.
And if you please remain standing for our hymn, When We All Get to Heaven.
Not a sigh when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing there'll be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the tones of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there'll be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
And if you, before you sit down, if you'd please reach out to your neighbors and pass the peace of Christ. All right, it's great to see so much passing of the peace, but let's begin to make our way back to our seats. We want to give our online folks a chance to participate too.
All right. The fellowship will continue over lunch.
Yes, yes, continue in the social hall.
Great. Let's welcome all those who have come to be with us online. So good to see you, Helen. Happy New Year to you. We are looking forward to celebrating your 105th birthday this year.
Yeah.
So stay strong. And Happy New Year to June. So good to see you, June. And George, please continue to pray for George. And welcome, David. Happy New Year.
Good morning. Those of you that were here last week, you saw that Pastor came down behind us and put his hands on Lorene's shoulders, just like he did 2.5 years ago when he did that, her double vision went away. We went to our dreaded trip to UCLA on Thursday. One of the, you know, bad things for some people, good things for others, the traffic was very light because of the fires. So we made a wonderful trip there. People had canceled their appointments, so we got right in, and we only had to spend about 3 hours there. We saw the head surgeon there for the eye problem that she has. And she gave us the news after all the tests had been run. She says there is absolutely zero, nothing, nada, not one cancer cell in your eye. And if you remember last week, Pastor came down and put his hands on her shoulders. And she told me afterwards that it was just like when he did that for her double vision. She felt like she was standing in front of an oven. She got very warm, and she had that same feeling. So thank you, Pastor, connecting her with the Holy Spirit. The only thing that the two things that the doctor told us that she needs to have them monitor her liver, because if something were to come back, that's where it would go. And she says your local doctor can take care of that. And she says that she sent the notice to her ophthalmologist and retinal surgeon here in Redlands that she needs to have glaucoma surgery. But she says that's very simple. So hallelujah, and thank you for all your prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank him, not me.
All of you that live here in Yucaipa know what we've gone through the last 3 or 4 days with no power. And I think for me, it's taught us a lesson. I grew up in Arizona where I first grew up. We had no electricity. We lived off of lanterns. But I think it taught all of us how spoiled I think we are, because we depend on the electricity, the gas, and all of the amenities that we have. And most of the posts that I seen were positive, but there was a lot that wasn't. And even when we went to the doctor, my doctor said, you know, I'm so sorry for you that you had no power. And I said, don't be sorry for me. I said, you know, it's a small price to pay to go 4 days with no electricity. I said, I have a home to come to home to. I have a church that I can walk to and have the Holy Spirit be upon us. So I think each and every one of us here that endured that, be thankful. Be thankful you have a home to come home to and a church to come and be blessed. And I think, too, it's taught us, you know, like the banks, the stores, the gas station, everything was closed. We're not used to that. And at the store, they were saying you could only come in if you had cash or check. Everybody goes, what's a check? What's cash? You know, so I think it's taught us all, you know, carry a little cash with you, you know. And I just thank God for this church and that we're all here and we have a church to come home to.
Amen.
And I just want to put in a little plug here. UMCOR and World Vision are both at the fire sites helping people that have lost everything. So if you can donate something to UMCOR or World Vision for that, that'd be much appreciated.
I was kind of concerned on Wednesday if we could have luncheon, and thankfully, the restaurant did not lose any electricity, so we had we enjoyed a wonderful luncheon in there. So thanks be to God mm-hmm. for that.
Mm-hmm. Last week, I asked for prayers for my sister who had knee replacement surgery on Wednesday. And today I'm asking prayers for her husband because he is her caregiver and she's been pretty ornery. And on this Wednesday, my older sister, Dottie, who lives near DC, will be having laser kidney surgery. It's like about the third round, and it's not a good time for her either.
just what Deb was just saying about UMCOR. UMCOR is some of the first to show up at disasters everywhere in the world, and some of the last to leave. You just don't hear much about it because they don't spend any money, you know, patting themselves on the back. But they're there, you know, everywhere, and some of the last to leave. So that's a good one. World Vision too, you know, it's a very good one to try to help support.
And along with that, I'd like to share with you very sad news. We lost two Methodist churches by the fire. Mm-hmm. The Methodist church in Pacific Palisade and then Altadena. Those two Methodist churches burned down. And I hear that the parsonage in Pacific Palisades was lost as well. A pastor who serves as a board member, she now is an assistant to the bishop, Pastor Paige Eves. Her house is also burnt down as well. So, and I have a meeting, this East District Union meeting on Tuesday, and I'm going to propose to the board to help them financially. So hopefully that'll be approved, and we have a lot of people that we want to continue to hold in our prayers.
Thank you, Deb. Alita Kirker here. Just ask for prayers for Judy, who is a little under the weather still, and Trudy lost a cousin this week. Also, very concerning is my oldest niece, my brother's oldest daughter. She, several years ago, she had an accident and had to have knee replacement and reconstructive surgery. Last year, she had to have it again on the same leg for some problems. A few days ago, the seam started coming undone and the inside stitches were coming to the surface. So she had another surgery and they found a pretty bad infection. I'm not sure if she's on a PICC line or not, but it'll be quite a recovery process. She is going to wound care and may have to have plastic surgery on her leg in the future. They just don't know what to do. So prayers for her.
Thank you.
32. The first day of the storm, we had a window blow into the house, which made a very strange noise. Fortunately, within a couple of days, the guy came to replace it, but the second big day, it broke two of the supports on our porch, so the roof was flapping, which was an interesting look. Yeah. I found something to anchor it, but it still flapped, and fortunately, somebody's coming this next Wednesday to try to fix that. But we're safe.
Anyone on Zoom?
Okay, at this time, if you'd please join with me in our unison prayer, they can be found on the screen. Let us pray. Our Father, we glorify your name for sending your Son, Jesus, for our salvation. Sanctify us through your teachings. For we are not of this world. Protect us from the evil one by the power of your name and unite us as one. Fill our hearts with the fullness of your joy. May we reach out to those who still need to hear the message and bring them into the fold of your truth and love. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. This is the fire disaster and is a really serious issue that makes our heart heavy. And seems to me the only thing we can do is to keep them in our hearts and in our prayers. So let us continue our prayers for them, and let us continue to hold our loved ones that God placed in our life with our prayers, and bring our prayers in silence unto the Lord at this time. Lord Jesus, we cannot comprehend the emotional stress that all the fire victims are experiencing these days. We sometimes face moments like this, and we just don't have any answers to the crisis. The only thing that we can ask at this time, O Lord, is your mercy. In your mercy, O Lord, hear our prayer. In your mercy, O Lord, reach out to those whose lives been shattered and touch their heart, touch their lives. Give them hope. Give them courage. And let them know that they have the future and you will lead them on. Provide the ways for them that they may continue on, that their lives may be sustained. So, Lord, we lift up our prayers for all those fire victims. Lord, we lift up our prayers for our loved ones who are in need of your presence, who are in need of your healing touch, who are in need of receiving assurance of your presence in their lives. You have the power to change the life circumstances. You have the power to calm the storm of life. So, Lord, we come to you asking you to give our loved ones your peace. Let them see your presence in the midst of the storm. We have many concerns for ourselves as well, and we lift our prayers unto you, knowing that regardless what's going on in the world, in our lives, in the life of our loved ones, you are our sovereign God. You have the plan for us. As you have not failed us, not even once, you will not fail us to use us to fulfill your will in our lives. So we come to you with a humility and faith, and we yield every care, every concern, every cause of doubt into your hand and ask you to receive them and make our burdens light. We thank you for many manifestations and evidences of your presence in our lives. May we hold on to you and to your power and your presence, that we may always find courage and strength to continue on. Once more, Lord, knowing that you are our sovereign God, we yield to you. We submit ourselves to your plan and ask you to fulfill your will, your plan in our lives, in the life of our loved ones, in this church, in this community, and in this world today. So now we join our hearts in praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is the story of the three wise kings, retold and illustrated by Tomi Di Paola. Long ago in the east, in lands far from one another, there lived three kings, Melchior of Arabia, Gaspar of Tarsus, and Balthazar of Saba. These wise men studied the stars. Each night they looked at the sky and wrote down where the stars were, where they had come from, and where they were going. One night, a star they had never seen before appeared in the sky. Each of the kings consulted his books and found that this new star was the sign that a great king was about to be born. So each king, not knowing about the others, set out to follow the star, to find the child king, and to honor him. And each carried with him a gift. Melchior took gold, Gaspar frankincense, and Balthazar myrrh. After many days and nights, the three wise kings met. They found that they were all following the same star, so they continued their journey together. But as they came near to Jerusalem, they lost sight of the star, and they didn't know which way to go. "Let us ask at the palace of King Herod," one of them said. "Surely Herod will know of the birth of another great king." "Where is he that has been born to be king of the Jews?" they asked. "We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to honor him." Now Herod, who was an evil man, was disturbed when he heard this. He wished to be the only king in that land. He went to his chief priests and learned men and asked them where this child would be born. "It has been written, 'At Bethlehem in Judah,'" they told him. Herod sent for the three kings. "Go to Bethlehem and find out all about the child king," he said. "And when you have found him, come back and tell me so that I may worship him too." The three wise kings set out for Bethlehem, not knowing that Herod wanted to destroy the newborn baby. And there in the sky once again was the star. They followed it until it stopped over the place where the child was born. Like a flame of fire, that star pointed out God, the King of Kings. And going into the place, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and falling down on their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasures and offered the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. That night, as the king slept, they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, for he wished to destroy the child. So the three kings, to keep Herod from finding the child, returned to their countries by a different way. Matthew tells us that wise men went to Bethlehem to honor the child who would become king of the Jews. Matthew doesn't give them names, and he doesn't say how many they were. He only mentioned that they followed a star from the east. Over the centuries, details were added. They were transformed into three kings, and the number was determined because of the three gifts. By the 8th century, each of the kings had a name and an area from which he came in a physical description. Melchior of Arabia was depicted as an old man, Gaspar of Tarsus as young, and Balthazar of Saba was shown as middle-aged. The Feast of the Three Kings, called the Feast of the Epiphany, is celebrated on January 6, 12 days after Christmas. In some countries, this is a day on which gifts are given. Ultimately, the best gift was given to us by God. So thank him for the gift of our Savior. Amen.
Our next hymn that we'll have a chance to sing together is Abide With Me, number 700. Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. And it's titled, The Multitude from Every Nation. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. So glad that you made through the week and that you are here worshiping together with me. I am so proud of you. I pray that we will have the blessing of the Holy Spirit once more, working among us, working in our hearts and in our lives, touching us, touching our hearts, touching our body, touching our relationship, touching in every possible way that we may experience his living presence once more as we worship together. An Irish walks into a bar in Dublin, orders 3 pints of Guinness, and sits in the back of the room, drinking a sip out of each one in turn. When he finishes them, he comes back to the bar and orders 3 more. The bartender approaches and tells him, "You know, a pint goes flat after I draw it. It would taste better if you bought one at a time." The Irishman replies, "Well, you see, I have 2 brothers. One is in America, the other is in Australia, and I'm in Dublin. When we all left home, we promised that we'd drink this way to remember the days we drank together. So I drink one for each of my brothers and one for myself." The bartender admits that this is a nice custom and leaves it there. The Irishman becomes a regular in the bar and always drinks the same way. He orders 3 pints and drinks them in turn. One day, he comes in and orders 2 pints. All of the other regulars take notice and fall silent. When he comes back to the bar for the 2nd round, the bartender says, "I don't want to intrude on your grief, but I wanted to offer my condolences on your loss." The Irishman looks quite puzzled for a moment, then a light dawns and he laughs. "Oh no, everybody just fine," he explains. "It's just that me and my wife had joined that fundamentalist Baptist church and I had to quit drinking. Hasn't affected my brothers though." Those who love to drink beers would understand the joke very well. Worldly pleasures are difficult to resist. When they appear to so enticing and taste so good, it's all too easy to give in to temptation. This is precisely how Adam and Eve broke God's law and were cast out of paradise. What appears so appealing and tastes so delightful is pop culture, which Satan wields as his potent and crafty lure. When people commit wrongdoings, they naturally feel guilty. However, they often do not experience shame when engaging in immoral behavior becomes a cultural trend. We will examine the peril of popular trend by looking at the example of Demas, who was once a crucial ministry partner for Paul, but ultimately abandoned his faith for worldly pleasures. We may not have heard much about Demas, but Paul's letters show that he was a very devout follower of Christ at one point. I will construct who Demas was and his life based on where his name appears in Paul's letters. Paul wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon during his first imprisonment in Rome, and 2 Timothy during his second imprisonment in Rome, shortly before his martyrdom. Demas appeared in three prison epistles, Colossians, Philemon, and 2 Timothy. In his concluding remarks, Paul often included his co-workers and the names of notable individuals in his letters. Consider how much the companions he had in prison meant to Paul. During his house arrest in Rome, Paul required considerable emotional and spiritual support. The erratic Nero ruled Rome with cruelty and led a wicked lifestyle. Worst of all, Nero was intensely hostile toward Christians. Paul's impending martyrdom was as evident as the nose on his face under Nero's reign. Those who supported Paul were aware of the emperor and the hostile atmosphere. Yet they were willing to risk their lives and embrace potential persecution. Demas was one of those devoted and courageous believers. In Colossians 4:14, Paul wrote, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." Luke was a prominent follower of Christ in the early church and the author of the Gospel of Luke and Acts. Paul noted here that he was a physician, which may explain why taking care of Paul's health was significant. Demas is mentioned right alongside Luke, indicating that Paul regarded Demas with the same personal importance as Dr. Luke. The second instance where Paul mentions Demas is in Philemon. In Philemon 1:24, Paul writes, "Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers." This designation for Paul's fellow laborers seem to have given to church leaders who demonstrated genuine faith and dedication to the gospel and were part of Paul's inner circle in his ministry. We know about Dr. Luke already. Aristarchus was a fellow prisoner of Paul. Mark was a cousin of Barnabas. You know, Barnabas served as a vital missionary partner to Paul. And Mark followed in his cousin's footsteps to work alongside Paul. It is Mark who authored the Gospel of Mark. Paul regarded Mark as someone valuable for the ministry. The fact that Demas is mentioned alongside these three prominent figures suggests that Demas had a significant role in Paul's ministry. There is a turning point, however, when Demas appeared in Paul's letter for the third time. Unfortunately, Paul's recognition of Demas is not the same as on the first two occasions. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4:10, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica." What happened to the once devout believer and faithful ministry partner of Paul? When Paul wrote his second letter to Timothy, he was nearing the end of his earthly journey. Paul needed all the support he could gather as he faced capital punishment. With a heavy heart, Paul noted that everyone had left him except for Dr. Luke. That's in the letter of 2 Timothy. Demas let Paul down severely. Not only did he leave Paul, but he also abandoned his faith in Christ. What caused Demas to be so indifferent to Paul's chains and impending death that he even committed the sin of apostasy? Thessalonica was Macedonia's largest city and an important economic hub with over 200,000 residents and a large port. Archaeological discoveries show that the city had a theater for musical performances as well as fights to the death between gladiators and wild beasts. Like any Roman city, Thessalonica offered plenty of entertainment options for Demas to indulge in. Interestingly, the name Demas in Greek means popular or a governor of the people. Clearly, Demas the popular loved the things that were popular in the world and ultimately abandoned his faith. Thus, Demas is regarded as Paul's Judas. Just as Jesus had Judas as the betrayer, Paul had one as well. Demas reminds us of Jesus' teaching about many entering through the wide gate and walking on the broad road to destruction. The crowd that Demas represents are not unbelievers, but believers who once followed the gospel and biblical teachings, but now follow the popular trend of the world. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. Ek means out of, and kleo means to call. Ekklesia means the called out ones. The church, ekklesia, is called out of the world. The Hebrew word kadosh for holy has the same implication. Several years ago, I was sitting at an airport, I think it was LAX, and a gentleman in a black robe sat next to me in the lobby area. And I was, you know, naturally curious because I am the man of the robe and I don't wear the robe in public, but he was. And I was curious who he was. And I saw that he was holding a book, and then the book has a cover with a Hebrew letter kadosh, you know, that means holy, right? And I immediately noticed that he was wearing black robe, and he was holding the book called Kadosh, and he was a Jewish rabbi. In Hebrew, holy, kadosh, means separate or set apart. Both ecclesia and kadosh convey a sense of purity that is unstained by the world. God intends for his church to be pure and distinct from worldly influences. Demas did the exact opposite of what God desired. Popular trend may seem harmless, and many churches and believers embrace them, thinking they are doing the right thing, but their outcome is spiritual death. You know, the dilemma that we have as a church in America is that, you know, in good old days, we had this Christian West, right? Most of the churches, I mean, the countries in the West were Christian nations, and they believe in the Bible, they believe in the traditional values. But the trend has been changing, and so many churches have adapted this secular trend, and so many churches are now declining. So when we don't have in the same sense the Christian West anymore, the Christian America that we once knew anymore. So when we see the churches today, and we want to open to whatever churches do, that's something that we gotta be cautious. The following is an excerpt from the New York Times from July 2006. The Huntington River Gorge near Richmond, Vermont, is beautiful but deadly. In the last 40 years, 20 persons, mostly young adults in their 20s and 30s, have lost their lives in the gorge. Hundreds of gorge swimmers have been injured. On the surface, the water of the gorge looks calm and placid, but beneath it are strong currents that run swiftly over treacherous waterfalls and whirlpools. Public safety officials have designated the gorge the single most deadly place in the state. Warning signs have been posted on the side of the gorge, reading, "When the water is high due to rain or snow melt, especially powerful current can easily sweep you over the falls and trap you underneath the water." People are debating about what to do about the gorge. Some argue for more public information about the gorge's risk. Others want to ban anyone from visiting the place. Meanwhile, swimmers continue to be attracted to the scene. One college student attending the University of Vermont, just 14 miles from the gorge, said she had heard about the beauty of Huntington River Gorge and wanted to see it. She said, "People already know about the dangers and try their best to be careful. You can't change the water and you can't stop people from going in." Demas once had a strong faith in Jesus, but the world looked beautiful to the eyes of Demas and led him to spiritual demise. We all face the same danger that Demas once faced. Jesus understood the danger fully and prayed for the disciples in John 17, saying, "Father, they are still in the world. Protect them by the power of your name. They are not of the world anymore. Then I am of the world. My prayer is that is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. Sanctify them by the truth." Maintaining faith in this godless generation is a significant challenge that remains unchanged. Nevertheless, as we read from the Revelations, a countless multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language will make it to the final round and stand before the throne of the Lamb. They are the ones who wash themselves in the blood of the Lamb and keep themselves pure and white. Oh, when the saints go marching in, we want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Amen.
At this time, just like to make a reminder, if you've brought your tithes or offering with you today, you may leave them in the offering plate at the back of the church. Likewise, you can also send your offerings into the church through the mail or bring them by the office. And as always, we thank you so very much for your continued support of the church and its ministries. And at this time, we'll have a musical offering by Young Char.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord Jesus Christ, we have seen with our own eyes the wondrous work that you have performed in our lives, the miracles that you have worked in our lives, the sustaining grace that you have given unto each and every one of us. So, Lord, we give you this offering, acknowledging that you are the source of all the blessings. Be blessed as we lift up our praise and thanksgiving unto you, and bless us in return, that we may be a blessing to you and your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
And please remain standing for our closing hymn, I Belong to the King.
I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, I shall dwell in His palace no fear. He tells of His place in yon heaven above, and His children in splendor shall share. I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, and He never forsakes His own. He will call me someday to His palace above, I shall dwell by His glorified throne. I belong to the King, and He loves me, I know, for His mercy and kindness are free. I'll unseen be mine wheresoever I go, and my refuge unfailing is He. I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, and He never forsakes His own. He will call me someday to His palace above, I shall dwell in His glorified throne. I belong to the King, and His promise is sure, that we all shall be gathered at last. In His kingdom above, by life's waters so pure, when this life with its trials is past. I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, and He never forsakes His own. I shall dwell by His glorified throne.
Let us pray. Lord, life can be so difficult and painful, but we have this hope, O Lord, after we endured all the trials of life, we will stand before Your presence and celebrating our life together with You in Your kingdom. Thank You for this message that You have spoken to us, reminding us that we belong to You no matter whatever trials we face in this life. So continue to bless us, sustain us, empower us, encourage us in everything we do, that we may continue to be a faithful follower of Your truth. Send us forth in Your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
of pain. God will go in you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. For he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show. God will